Let's open our Bibles now in Acts number 2, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Actually, we will start the reading in verse 41 to verse 47. The book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning verse 41. This is the word of the living God. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is what God said. This is a very important text for me because it was the first text that I deal in my work of preaching, like 15 years ago. And I worked in different churches in Brazil during these 15 years before coming to the United States. And I found very different communities there. I worked in churches with many resources. I worked in churches with people with many gifts. They were doctors, masters. They were lawyers. They worked hard. And besides all those things, the church that they were attending were not growing, were not making difference in the world. They were struggling and they were stagnant. They were not progressing. But my best experience was in a very poor church, a very simple church back to Brazil. They were not studied. Many of them never went to college before. They didn't have good jobs. The church had a lot of financial struggles, but they had something different from the other churches. They were listened to the Holy Spirit. They were listened to the voice of God, and they were leading with all those things that we read today in the God's law, and they let the gospel came through them to everywhere. That small church continues to grow until today. They are still proclaiming the gospel everywhere, and some amazing things are happening in the church because they let the Holy Spirit work through them. It is impressive that with simple things, with normal things, God can make amazing things in his church. It is amazing how we will deal in the book of Acts with so many different contexts. In the last time I preached here, I preached in the chapter 3 of Acts, and we talked about the lame who were healed by Peter and John, and how that extraordinary thing changed many people around Jerusalem. But before that, the Holy Spirit will not make extraordinary things. He will make ordinary things in the church. Common things like stay in the apostles' teaching, like pray. Things that any of us can do easily. We just need to save time for that, and we don't need to struggle to do those things. But we using these simple things, these ordinary things, God is sending His Holy Spirit to make the ordinary become extraordinary. And in the book of Acts, we will see many extraordinary things coming because of these small things. The church that will grow with the test that we will search today, that we will analyze today, it will proclaim the gospel everywhere. They will get out for the upper room. They were hided in the upper room in the beginning of the book of Acts. And in the end of these books, this church will be everywhere in the world. And they will be proclaiming the gospel. They will be growing new churches, planting churches. They will organizing movements that will change all the religion, all the government. It will change everything. Because the Holy Spirit worked in His church through these things that we will analyze today. And that leads us to the first point of this message. The Holy Spirit was guiding them to devote themselves to ordinary things. It is impressive that the marks of the church in their first days were very simple. We will see in the verse 42 and 43 that normal things could change the society and the people that now were becoming new believers. We need to realize that we are dealing with 3,000 people in this text. But in verse 41, it was 120. So they grew fast. It was something amazing that happened there. And after they see the Holy Spirit coming, after they see what the Holy Spirit made between them with tongues as on fire, and they started to speak in different languages, and something amazing happened, the Holy Spirit came through these people and made them devote themselves to the apostle teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. The amazing Holy Spirit, who could make wonderful things, decided to make them devote themselves to simple things. They were not trying to find the great idea of their days. They were not trying to find a model to become more powerful or to grow up or to make something that no one else had made in the past. No, they just started to do normal things. And first of all, they devote themselves to a strong commitment to the apostles' teaching. They started to learn with the apostles about what they saw and about what they could teach them. We need to remember that this church didn't have the New Testament with them. The New Testament was still being written through the apostles. They were writing letters and sending to the church. And that's why we have the New Testament today, because they wrote these letters and then sent them to the church. But now, on this moment, they didn't have the whole Bible with them. They needed to be there, and that's probably why they went to the church every day. The text say daily. Every day they were there searching what the apostles were teaching to them, learning what they were trying to say, learning about Jesus Christ, learning about the miracles he made, learning how he teach them about God and about himself and about the Holy Spirit. Everything, they were starving to know more about Jesus Christ. And this is something that usually new believers will have with them. I don't know if you already, become converted when you were grow up, like an adult, or if you know a new believer, but usually when someone came from other religion and become a new believer, they read the Bible in 2 months, the whole Bible. They came to church every day. They pray 2-3 hours a day. They are starving. They need to know God. They need everything that God can give to them because they love God and they want to know Him better. But with time, unfortunately, I don't know what happened in churches around the world, that thing just passed away. We forgot our love, our passion about the Bible. And sometimes we read the Bible twice a week, three times a week. And sometimes we don't have time for that. And that is very bad. But this is a reality for many believers around the world. That's why in many churches around the world we can see a bad theology coming from pulpits, coming from the church. Because they don't know what God said, what God teach, and don't know what they should believe and what they should do as Christians. But we know that here, what they are teaching to us is we need to devote ourselves to teaching, to the apostles' teaching, to learn what they said, to learn about Jesus Christ, and to become more like Jesus and not as we want to be in our future. We need to permit the Holy Spirit to work on us, to kill us, and make Christ appear in our face. We have in the book of Acts many situations that will show us how this is important for the church. Can you remember what happened when Stephen was before the council in Acts chapter 7. They took him, they bring him before the synagogue, before all the leaders of that time, and he was questioned by many people, like the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, those from Sicilia and Asia, and all of them started to argue against him, and because he knew what the Word of God, because he knew what Jesus Christ, because he was taught about the Word, the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 10, that they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They could not argue with him. They didn't knew it, how to convince him that he was wrong, because he was receiving everything he needs from the Holy Spirit and from his knowledge of the Word of God. And that made everything worse to them, but to him too. The Bible continues saying that they would bring him to the to the leaders of Israel, those who killed Jesus Christ, and he would make one of the most important sermons in the church history. You can find and read later in Acts chapter 7, but he will go through whole history of the Jews to Jesus Christ, showing that he was the Messiah, that he was the one who would bring peace to his people and the only savior they could have. And because of that, they killed him. But while they killed him, he saw the Jesus' face, and his face was shining because of the work spirit. This is amazing, and this is happening because they were committed to the apostles' teaching, because they were committed to those things that the Holy Spirit bring to them. But I need to continue. I could speak more about this, but let's continue. The second point in this part, verse 42 and 43, is they had fellowship. They were going every day to the same place, not just for learn the scriptures, but to have fellowship with their brothers and sisters. This is extremely important, especially nowadays, because we live in an individualistic culture that teaches that we can stay alone, and it's much better, actually, if we live alone, apart from the community, having our own problems. We already have a lot of things to do. We have a busy life. We are struggling in many different aspects in our lives. So the best thing is just go to the church on Sundays, have a little fellowship with them, and that's enough. But the Bible doesn't teach that, and this text will not teach us that. Here, they are teaching us that we need to have fellowship. We need to walk together. We need to have someone with us, walking with us, giving strength to us, helping us in our bad days, in having and being happy with us in our good days. It's funny to see how we know many things about the Bible, but we not do those things during our life. Like, the Bible said that we need to exhort each other. This is kind of a commandment to us in the New Testament. If you see someone committing sin, you should call him apart and talk to him. And ask him, you should come back to God. You should come back to Christ. You cannot live like that. But it's very strange that we want to do that without knowing what our brothers and sisters are living. We don't know what the others in our church are doing during the week. We don't know if they are having a great time in family. We don't know if they are having worship family. We don't know if they are struggling with a situation at home. We don't know if they need our help or if they have needs and we could help them with money or something or our time. We don't know anything, but we will still think that we can exhort each other. This is not part of the exhortation. The exhortation should come while we live together. While we are walking together and you see something on me that I need to change, you should come to me as a brother or as a sister and say, hey, Isaac, you should do that different. The Bible says that and you are doing different. You should be able to do that while you live with your community. We need to know their problems. We need to know their joys. And for that, unfortunately, we need to spend time with them. Not unfortunately, I'm saying as a modern Christian. Because it's a privilege to live together. It's impressive that all of us, we want to go to heaven when Jesus Christ will be seated in the throne and all the community of believers of all time will stay together and we will have a wonderful time there because we will have fellowship with God, fellowship with the community of God. We will sing together. We will eat together. It will be amazing. Everyone wants to go to heaven. But when God gives us a part of the heaven in earth and is the church, we decide to walk a part of it. This is not good. And this test is teaching us that the Holy Spirit wants that we walk together. You need this person who is seated in this church today. The Bible said that we are a body of God. Jesus is the head and we are a body. So the hand needs the leg needs the foot needs the heart, and that means I need you and you need me. We need together, we need to be together to become a body and to glorify Jesus Christ as a body. It's impossible to walk alone in God's church. That's why today many believers and theologists are struggling with those who believe they can be Christians without a church. This is not what the Bible said. This is not what God teaches. But we need to continue. The third subject exposed by Luke here is the breaking of bread. God teaches that we should break the bread together. Many commentarists would choose a specific interpretation of this text. Some of them will defend an idea that that means the Lord's Supper, the break of bread here in Acts 2:42, means the Lord's Supper celebrating together. And other commentaries will think that it means just having lunch together, dinner together, soup or something like that. I believe, because of the context and because of the things that the Greek doesn't say, that we can apply both situations here. We will see that it fits perfectly when we say just eating together. Because when in their homes, they were probably not celebrating the Lord's Supper. They were just having dinner together. But the text says too that they were together at the temple. And in the temple, they probably were having the Lord's Supper together. So I think both would be applied here. They were breaking the bread and having the Lord's Supper together, and that was very important to them. First of all, because the most impressive thing in our times is how the break of bread make everyone happy, and it's amazing how that makes everything perfect to have fellowship. If you are talking to someone just in a table with anything inside the table, it's okay. It can be fun. It can be good. But if you have a pizza in the table, it will be amazing, right? That makes a lot of difference. And the text is saying that they were breaking the bread together because they were having fun together. They were living together and sharing their meals. They were having a fellowship with a lot of important things together. Happiness, joy. They were singing together. They were doing a lot of things while they break the bread. And at church, they were breaking the bread, remembering the most important thing we had, that is Jesus Christ save our lives and make us believers. So, doesn't depend where they are. They were always breaking the bread and enjoying the community of God. This is very important to us today, but I know I need to continue. So in the fourth aspect here, we see them persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer is something very difficult for us today. But we need to see that this church will continue persevering in prayer for the whole book of Acts. We saw that in Acts 1:14, when they keep 10 days praying while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. That happens before this test. And after that, in Acts 3, chapter 1, we saw this text the last time I preached it here. Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer. They continue praying 3 times a day at the temple, as the Jews usually do in the past. In Acts 4:31, the place where they were was shaken while they prayed. And in Acts 6:4, the apostles decided to devote themselves to preaching and prayer. They told everyone, we should not serve the tables. We need to pray more to be able to offer a good word of God, to preach better for you, to teach you better. We need to pray. This is extremely important for us. In Acts 13, verses 1 to 3, we can see the church praying to send Paul and Barnabas when they went to a lot of missions. They preach everywhere because of the church praying and deciding and being guided by the Holy Spirit to take Barnabas and Paul to become preachers, missionaries. So we could have many other examples from this book, but we can see prayer, it's something that they continually do for all their lives. We don't have option to skip praying from our time. We should know that. I know that probably we know that. But the thing is, we are not putting this in the as a priority for us. Sometimes we save 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Sometimes we just skip and I'm late, I need to go work, I'm hurry to meet someone, my children's, they need me. A lot of things can happen and can make us skip prayer, but we need to know if God will use you, you need to be connected to God through your prayers. Can you imagine a marriage with no talking between husband and wife? It would be able to continue growing as a couple if we don't talk together, if we don't pass time together, if we don't listen the other. This is impossible. We need to talk to God if you want to know Him better, if you want to stay with Him, to walk with Him. And the only way we can talk to God is through our prayers. The church in Acts 2, they prayed daily, alone. They were praying in their houses. They were praying in their meetings. While they had fellowship, they were praying together. They were always praying. In addition to all those things, verse 43 says that they had awe upon them. Something that the Holy Spirit brings to us is we start to have awe for God. We need to realize that we need to fear God sometimes. He's not our body. He's God. He's the Almighty God. He is our Father, but He continues to be the Creator of heaven and earth. So we need to know that we are talking to God. We need to know that we need to respect God, and the Holy Spirit is bringing that to them because they need that to continue and to grow while they continue learning about what the God was teaching them. And the verse 42 continues saying that many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, through them. It's impressive that the test is very specific here. It was not the whole community who were mating miracles and signs. It were only the apostles. The community itself were praying, were having fellowship, were studying the apostles' teaching, they were breaking the bread, and while the church did that, the apostles were making signs and miracles. So it's very clear here what is there. It's our job. We need to know that we have something to do in the church, and in all the rest we will leave for the Holy Spirit. He will do the miracles and the signs. We just need to do common things, simple things. We don't need to follow miracles and signs. We need to follow the Bible. We need to learn. We need to pray. We need to worship God. We need to do common things. You don't need any help to do those things. You can do it alone. You can do it with your community. But all of this will lead us to the second point of this sermon that says the Holy Spirit was making them live to glorify the Lord. It is very important to us now to watch the verse number 44. We have a chiasm. It's a structure in this text. It starts in verse 41, and verse 41 will say almost exactly what verse 47 will say. They were saying that God is adding through them many people. And verse 42 and verse 46 will say almost everything with different words, but they will say that they were together all the time. They were attending the temple together. They were having fellowship together, and everything continues. And verse 43 and verse 45 will say that they feared the Lord. They were recognizing that the Lord is their Lord, and they were giving everything they had to the Lord. But the main point of everything is in the verse 44, who says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." They were one church. They had everything in common. Everything points in this whole, in the whole text, everything points to verse 44. And it's saying we need to realize that the church needs to walk together. They need to know that all things should be common between them. They need to continue walking with everything, thinking about everything being belonging to God and serving the church of Jesus Christ. Why God made you as you are today? Why God made you a doctor, a businessman, or I don't know how many things you can do here. I still don't know all the church, of course, but we need to know that everything God made on you, it was to serve this church. And of course, those who are outside that needs to be able to come to this church. If God put you working in a hospital, it's because He gave all the gifts you need to preach the gospel there. And if God gave you your gifts and talents in this church, is to use them to help the others, to serve them. We were not called to become, to be served. We were called to serve. All the gifts God gave to you, it's to the church of God. So we need to know that we need to use them to bless our brothers and our sisters. I don't know for how many time, for how long you are skipping and serve your brothers, but you should change that in your life. You should change your reality, your life, and start to serve your brothers and sisters and serve this community and serve the neighborhood of this community. We cannot hold to ourselves what God gave to us. We need to continue We need to continue glorifying the God, the Lord God, and for that we need to, again, die and start to live to Jesus Christ. But I need to continue. So for least, we will talk about the Holy Spirit giving grace and mercy from God to these people. God will start day by day giving His mercies and giving His blessings to them. It's impressive to see how in verses 46 and 47, they were glad to glorify Jesus Christ. They were being blessed to God. God was using the Holy Spirit to make this church strong. God was talking to them daily. God was making them a wonderful church. God was killing their sins and making them saints to God. And while that happens, God was adding to them numbers, to their numbers, day by day, those who were being saved. It's impressive to see how the numbers should not be so important to us, but they are still something that should talk to us. We don't want a mega church, of course. We don't want to stop to believe in the doctrine of the Bible. We don't want to open our hearts and our church for every new thing that appears around us just to make the church grows and grows, and soon we will not have more believers here, but a lot of people and not real believers. But we need to realize that our true church is a church who receives believers, new believers. Why? Because God, when God sees a church seeking to Him, working to Him, and when a church is ready to teach the gospel, to help the people who need them, God just sends to them those who need the church to know Him better. They were having fellowship in their houses and in the temple. They were not yet preaching the gospel everywhere. They were not still going to squares and preaching the gospel in those places. No, they were like closed. But it's amazing how the verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. While the unbeliever looked to this church, they were seeing the light of Jesus Christ in the church. And they wanted to join the church. They saw their faces, their joy, how even struggling with many things, they continue to worship God, worshiping God and glorify His name and having and being blessed by God. So I want to be part of it. I want to know this God better. But if we hide everything we have, how they could saw? It's impossible to see the glory of God. What God is doing in our lives, if we are just closing in ourselves. How many times you said to your neighbors or to your friends what God made in your life? Are you opening a door or something that could make a connection between your Christian life to all the unbelievers who are around you? Are you able to show the world that God changed your life, God saved you from sin, and God is giving you a wonderful time? Not because you have only good things in your life. Probably you are struggling with many things, but besides that, we are a blessed people. We know the power of Jesus Christ. We know that if we die today, we will go to heaven. We will sing a new song with the believers in the heaven. We will proclaim His name forever. And because our God is the only live God, is the only God in all the world. So we need to praise His name. We need to glorify His name. We need to proclaim His name everywhere. And then God will add many new believers, and we will take care of them. It's a way, it's a path that God is giving to us to do. Well, I know my time is coming to an end, so we need to conclude this sermon, and we need to think that we will fight against many things that our brains and our lives will tell us the contrary. Like, we live in an individual culture. You don't need to want to live in this individual culture to be part of it. We just learn those things living normally our days. They teach us every day that it's better stay alone, that it's better walk alone without our church, and especially the devil is trying to convince us this is the best thing for us. When the Bible says he's working against us, this is one of the most important things that the devil is doing in the culture today. He's convincing the church that they can be a church alone. We need to fight against that. I know that your time will be a big problem for you. That maybe your finances or many other things will make very difficult to you to live with your brothers and your sisters. But we need to realize that this is not an option for us. You need to live with this church. You need to have fellowship with them. You need to pray with them. You need to sing songs and psalms with them. You need to exhort them. You need to have joy with them. You need that. So you must change your life and include your church in your schedule. We don't have options for that. We need to follow the Spirit, what the Spirit is teaching to the church. We learn another thing in our times that is a big problem for what they were teaching here. It's that our financial commitment, it's for us and for our family. What God gave us, it belongs to us. But the scriptures teach us, and I'm not defending a kind of communism or something like that. No, this is not what the word is saying. I'm saying that we need to realize that everything that God gives to us belongs to us to serve our brothers and sisters. If you know that someone in your church have needs and you have a way to help them and you decide to don't do it, you are committing a sin. We need to realize that. If you don't have an option to help them, it's okay. Well, I cannot do anything. I don't have what I need to help him. But probably God will find another person in the church to help this person. The thing is, we need to be committed to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We need to know that our money doesn't belong to us. We are taking care of this money for God. We use it for our own bills, to pay our bills, to pay our rent, for everything, but it belongs to God. If we know that someone, a brother or sister needs, we need to just give to them what God gave to us. And if God wants, He will give you again, because He is the owner of all the riches of the world. He's the owner of everything. But this church, they were selling their possessions to help their brothers and their sisters, because they knew it, that the love between the church should be higher than the love for money and richness. And we need to realize, and I will finish with this conclusion, that we need to preach the gospel and seek the law, the lost. It's not, we cannot stay comfortable being healthy, feeded every Sunday, and just living 5, 10, 12, 30 years being feeded, like receiving what God is teaching to us, and come back home and just close the door and no one needs to know about those things. We need to realize that God is giving us the Word of God to use the Word of God through us. When we learn about the gospel, it's because He's teaching us to make us capable to teach others. It's impossible to be a Christian and not feel a favor or something burning inside of you that will lead you to preach the gospel to the lost. They will go to hell if they don't find Jesus Christ. They will not have another option in this life. Doesn't exist another gods. They need Jesus Christ. How can we just have this message and shut our mouths? We are seeing many people today going to hell. Everywhere. We cannot stay quiet. We need to go and preach what God made in our lives and in this church. And we will see God changing lives. We will see people coming to know more about Jesus. And we will see many lost becoming believers. And we will praise God together because of this. So, preach the gospel. Don't stay quiet. Tell everyone what God is doing and what He has made in your life. Let's share with the world the amazing love and the amazing grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Let's talk to God again. Our merciful God, please make us see again the power of Jesus Christ and believe in Him as our guide, Savior, and Lord. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, and may we can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and glorify your name with your lives, with our time, with our money, with everything we have. And we will see you working on us and through us and making your name wonderful everywhere. Stay with us. In Jesus Christ we pray.